He's blessed us with his power and his purpose. Well, I think I'm going to have to change my battery here, Brother Daniel. I'm going to go to this other mic and we'll keep it going. But I'm just thankful, amen, that he still is. As that little song there says, he's keeping a watch over my soul. And I hope he's keeping a watch over yours. Hope you know him as your Redeemer and your Savior, and that you've got him, well, looking out for you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Alvin. I appreciate that. And we've been studying, of course, as most of you know, for quite a little while now. We've been in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, and we're in chapter number 16, if you'll look there with us. Acts chapter number 16. We got down last week through verse number 15. Got down to verse number 15, and, you know, we talked about the move into the area of Macedonia for Paul and his crew, and we're just introducing you to this. I trust you can see this tonight. We're doing our study in the book of Acts. Now, as you look at this little section, we're going to be in chapter number 16, go through verses 16 through 24, and we're going to talk about a damsel set free. A damsel set free. There is somebody mentioned here in these verses, and probably a lot of us know this story. If you've studied the book of the Acts and the things that have gone on, you know this little story about how that Paul and his crew have gone into, as I say, the area of Philippi now is where they're really located. But as far as a geographical location, they're there in Philippi, and they have just crossed over from one continent to another, really. They saw the man from Macedonia calling and saying, come help us. And they go over to this side. And here they are ready to carry the gospel, and they do. And then the first thing you see is a conversion that happens to a lady by the name of Lydia. A conversion that happens to her. You see that she gets saved. She is a God-fearing woman. She just doesn't have enough light. And aren't you glad when God is on your heart, when you're in that place, maybe as she was, hey, God can send more light. And he does send more light. And he did for this dear, precious lady. And you see, we talked about her being, you know, probably a well-respected, maybe even a rich lady, dealt with the purple fabric of the area and the time and the day which the rich folks wore. And she probably had a couple of places where she lived, Thyatira, and here in Philippi. Anyway, we see that picture and you think, wow, hallelujah, everybody's getting saved and things are going good for Paul and the crew. Well, look down at verse number 16 with me, if you will, and we begin to see another little story develop at this whole time. It says, and it came to pass, okay, came to pass as we went to prayer, and that's where they'd met Lydia, as you look there in verse number 14, it says, they went down to a place where the prayer was wont to be made by Riverside. Well, here they're going back again. It came to pass that we went to prayer. A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that their hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for loving us here tonight and being a blessing to us in the singing and in the Word of God. And I pray now you just continue to bless us as we look into this Word. And I pray you'd help us to see some things and to realize that you're still the God, no matter whether things are going well or whether things seemingly are in a sad state, a severe state, whatever it may be. I'm glad you're able to meet those needs tonight, and you're still able to give the victory and provide what's needed this evening. And again, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. In this chapter, and most of us know this little section again that we're getting into, beyond this, you're going to see the Philippian jailer. You're going to see the Philippian jailer. And we all know how that the Lord saved him because of Paul and Silas being in the jail, and the earthquake came and they got loose, and all those kind of things. We know all of that, right? We know his saved. We just read, as I say, last week about a lady named Lydia, and she was delivered by the power of God. You're going to find one more person, and in this chapter, there's those three deliverances that come. And one of them, this one here tonight, is probably the most miraculous of them all. I mean, it is a miraculous thing. And I know there were many other folks that were saved. I mean, there's a lot of other folks saved. Paul establishes a church here in Philippi, and he writes to them later and, talks to them. There's a number of people that are the church at Philippi. But here are some of the stellar examples of what God can do when God begins to work. And as I said tonight, we're just going to call this a damsel set free. A damsel set free. Well, I'll tell you, the devil's on the rampage, isn't he? I mean, the devil's just running everywhere in everything today. I mean, you can see the effects of Satan in this world that we live in. And you don't have to go far to see that. I know sometimes we talk to some of our mission friends, and they will tell us in some of the foreign countries where they're located that there's a lot of activity, even demonic type activity, where the devil, has come upon some people, entered into people, caused them to do some things, and there's a lot of people and places in this world where they believe a lot differently than we do, even as a society, and they still have their medicine man and their voodoo things and all this kind of stuff. But I'm just telling you, man, the devil's still working wherever he gets a chance, okay? Wherever he's got a chance, he's working. But you see that seems to be the idea here, right? The idea that this little girl, I know we call her a damsel, and that probably means that she's a young lady. I don't know how old we may say that she is, but the Bible tells us a little story about her. Now, let's look at this. I want you to notice, first of all, notice this, that this damsel was a slave. The damsel that was a slave. I want you to notice, she's a slave, okay? She is enslaved. You'll say, well, preacher, how do we know that? Well, the Bible tells us about three things that gives us the idea. She is a slave that was forced by men. If you'll read this little section again, especially verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters. You see that word, masters? Much gain by soothsaying. She had, and really, you can look at that word masters, and it means somebody that is in bond servitude to somebody else. You know, there's a lot of times Paul mentions in his writing and says that he is a servant of Jesus Christ, and that word is the word that says he's a bond slave. He is actually a slave to Jesus. Well, this girl was a slave to some men. We don't ever know their name. We're not ever told very much about them, just a couple of guys or a group of men. But they owned this girl. I mean, she was a slave. And I want to tell you, somebody in some reading that I did said this wasn't an unusual situation. That this was probably more common than you thought. They said in the very city of Rome itself, there were probably some 60,000 people that were in servitude, in slavery, to some master. That's just in the city of Rome. And here we're on the outskirts of that. Philippi is a city that is a a Roman city. I mean, it's established by Rome. It's outside the area of Italy, obviously, but it is a governmental type city. In other words, the government of Rome is running things around here, okay? And you'll see that it talks about the magistrates and some of the other people that are involved in the government of it. Well, their government was, so slavery was okay with the government in that day. It was an okay thing. I mean, you could have a slave. And this girl has gotten into this position. She was a slave. The damsel that was a slave, she's a slave. She's a slave in three ways. First of all, as I said, she's a slave that's been forced to be this by men. I mean, you know, you hear a lot on the television today. They talk about that there is people out here that are coming across the border and all this, and a lot of them wind up being sold as slaves or, you know, in some kind of sex slavery or whatever it may be. They're in all kinds of stuff that goes on all around this world. And you sit there and you think, preacher, man, that can't be right. I don't know any of them people. I don't know anything about it. Sure, we probably don't know anything about it, but can I tell you, that don't keep it from happening. I mean, one of the biggest places of transport and issues with that in our world today is a place called Atlanta, Georgia. I mean, you better look out when you go to Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm telling you, it seems like it's creeping up here towards Chattanooga, Tennessee and Dalton, Georgia. And you know, even if you open your eyes, you might see it in Fort Oglethorpe and Rossville and Chickamauga and Lafayette. I mean, you just got to keep your eyes open because there's somebody out there and they're trying to do some ugly, mean, vile things to whoever they can entrap in this business. And this little girl was such a slave. These men owned her. Because you see that it talks about in a little bit here, it talks about how that she brought her masters much gain. And then when Paul sent this spirit of divination out of her, it said when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. I mean, they had their prize pupil here of slavery and all the money she's bringing in. Hey, man, it was gone. And they got upset. We'll look at that in a few minutes. But I want you to know, she was a slave to them. I mean, it's no more than what we've got today with pimps and their girls out on the street. It's the same type thing. It may be a different interaction, but it's the same. She's owned by somebody else. She's not her own person. And isn't that sad to think that? I mean, isn't that horrible to think that somebody is owned and cannot have any liberties of their own, cannot do things that they want to and go places they want. They are forced into this slavery by men. Amen? But second of all, look at this, if you will. She was a slave that's filled with sin. She's just like me and you was, if you're saved. She's a slave to sin. I mean, you see that shows up because I'm telling you, the devil is all over what's going on, right? The devil is all over what's going on. I mean, can you see that these men are endeavoring to make money out of this girl? I mean, that's their point. And can I tell you, that's the way this stuff goes, unfortunately, most of the time. Somebody's in it for the dollar. I mean, they're not trying to take care of her. Let me just be real honest with you. They don't care about her. I mean, if, you know, they're like, well, she belongs to us. She's ours. She'll do as we say. She'll follow us. She'll always be our servant. And I'm telling you, they were filled with sin, and this girl was filled with sin. She's a slave to sin. And, buddy, when you get around it and you get neck deep in it, and when you're surrounded by it, hey, you're in trouble with sin. And do you know there's so many people outside these doors tonight, they live in this same situation? Oh, it might not be, you know, necessarily slavery to somebody and the spirit of divination and all this that this talks about, but can I tell you, they're slaves to sin. I mean, you just get out here, and I'll tell you, I was talking to Sister Tiffany. She's talking about maybe having to go to Chicago, and let me tell you, there's some places in Chicago you don't want to go. There's some places in Chattanooga you don't want to go. Amen? I mean, there's some places probably right around us you don't want to go. I mean, you listen to the news, pick up the paper, here somebody else has been shot, somebody else has been attacked, somebody else has been ill-treated in some way, and man, here it is. What caused all that, preacher? S-I-N, sin. This world is full of it. This world is wrapped up in it. This world seems to thrive and love the sin that they're in. Amen? And that's just where, and that's where this girl was. She's a slave to those men, certainly, but now she's a slave to sin. Let's get into that a little deeper and look at the third thing that I'll say that she's a slave to. She is a slave fashioned by a spirit. And notice that's a little S, not a big one. Okay? If you'll notice when you read this in verse 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer. It says, a certain damsel, listen, possessed with a spirit of divination. Okay? This girl is possessed by a demonic spirit. Now, the historians say that that little phrase that is used there, spirit of divination, is related to something that went on particularly in this city at Philippi, because there they had this place that was called the Oracle of Delphi. The Oracle of Delphi. And in that place, they had prophets and prophetesses. And they had these people that would prophesy, that would tell you something. And you could go to them and you worship their god, which was Apollo. The shrine was really to Apollo. But you would go to them and one of these persons would come out and they would begin to do some things that would, it ought to scare you. I mean, just from what you read. Now, you read in the Bible, there is the man of God's called a prophet, okay? And a prophet of God, I mean, the prophet of God may be loud, and the prophet of God may be direct, and the prophet of God may seem rough, like Elijah. Elijah was a prophet. And he might have been like Isaiah said. Isaiah said, cry aloud and spare not. And that was probably what Elijah did. He probably had a loud voice, much like your preacher right here. Amen? Huh? Got a big mouth, and that's okay. But these people that had these spirits, these devilish, demonic spirits, they had a voice too. And just from the description of this that you read, it says that it was a voice like the screeching of a bird. It was a rah! You know, it was a real crazy, shrill, unusual. It wasn't just a cry out loud of words and preaching like we would do, but it was something else. And what they would do is they would get themselves all worked up into a frenzy. They would get to gyrating and jerking and having all kinds of little movements, and they'd just seem like they'd get out of their body, their voice would change, and they would do some awful, horrific things to people. And you know, it, I mean, it's ugly. It got real ugly. And everybody knew there was something about them. They said, they got the spirit. They got the spirit, all right, but it ain't the kind me and you want, okay? It's a devil-inspired spirit, and that's exactly, this girl was a slave fashioned by spirit. I mean, she had it, but let me just tell you, you don't want it, okay? It's not anything that anybody wants, but even in this now, in this study of this little thought about the spirit of divination that she had, there is some reference made to the idea that it may even have been able to be it's like it was deep down on the inside of a person, and it roared, and it made some ugly guttural sound. I mean, it was just, you know, just horrible. And they said that it even had something to do with the act of ventriloquism. It was like they could throw their voice or, you know, speak with their mouth closed and put it somewhere else. And let me just tell you this. I mean, y'all have all been there, right? I'm not talking about with the devils, but I'm talking about with a guy with a dummy, okay? And isn't that fascinating? Sometimes you see this guy sitting here with this little dummy on his knee or whatever, and he's moving his mouth, and it sounds like that dummy's talking. And sometimes it gets so real that, you know, they can make them things look around at them and flutter their eyes and make funny facial expressions or whatever they can do with. And you think, well, that thing's alive. It ain't even, you know. Well, can you imagine somebody filled up with the devil? And them throwing their voice around there, making it look like something else. Well, this pot over here is talking. This rock over here said something. This thing over here made an okay or made a noise. And somebody can do that. Let me just tell you, it impresses people. And it scares them. And it puts them into a place where they're like, man, there's got to be something to this. So you can see this girl is filled with this evil spirit, this wicked spirit. And it's influencing somebody because the Bible tells us she's making her masters a lot of money. Amen? I mean, you think about, well, there's people who pay and probably do every year thousands upon thousands of dollars and probably millions upon millions to go out to Las Vegas and watch a magic act. And you know, they want to watch all this stuff. And people just love it. I mean, they just get caught up in that. Huh? Did y'all see David Copperfield move the Statue of Liberty? Okay. Sure he did. It magically got back where it started from by now, but I don't know how that happened. Well, let me just tell you, all of that sleight of hand, and it's, you know, and a good fellow that's doing that will let you know, this, I'm just fooling you, okay? I'm just messing with you. It ain't real. But see, there's people out there that says, oh, this is real. Let me tell you, the devil's real. And some of this stuff that he does is real. But it says here that this girl has that spirit of divination. And it says she made her masters a lot of money by, it says, soothsaying. You know what soothsaying is? That's fortune telling. She would have people and they'd come and they'd say, oh, tell me about what's going to happen in the next week or two or whatever, you know, or what's going to happen. You're going to meet a tall, dark stranger. Well, ain't that something? Amen. I bet we meet one of them every day somewhere. And, you know, I'm like, woo, hallelujah. You know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy sometimes. There's people out there, I know there used to be, I don't know so many of them now, but it used to when I was younger, there would be, man, I got to look at my horoscope today and see how my day's going to go. Really? You ought to look at your Bible and see how your day's going to go. The Bible said this is the day which the Lord hath made. Now I'll rejoice in that. I ain't got to worry about what Gene Dixon thinks about it. I'm just worried about what the Lord says about it. Amen? But there's people like that. I mean, they'll say, oh, well, my horoscope said blah, 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 blah. And if you're not careful, you can make that happen, right? I mean, you can read stuff into anything you want to read it. Well, this girl probably had enough, and the devil's got enough sense to know how foolish many people are that they'll believe some of the stuff or they'll make it work out to, you know, whatever the advantage is. And they made tons of money off of her. They were making money. She was the thing. But I'm just telling you, look, here's the damsel that's a slave. She's a slave in every bit of this. She's a slave to sin. She's a slave to men. And she is a slave to a spirit that ain't from God, okay? So notice that. But second of all, look at this. Let's look at the deliverance from the situation. There, thank God there's a deliverance from that. Aren't you glad of that? Well, here she is. I mean, it says that they met her. If you'll notice there in verse number 16, it came to pass as we went to prayer. I mean, I believe this is an appointment from God for Paul. Okay? I believe God put her there in Paul's way at this time in this situation for these very reasons that we're about to look at. But look what it says in verse number 17. It says, the same, this girl, followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And, you know, that's pretty impressive right there. I mean, you look at that and you think, well, praise God. Well, can I tell you, the devils know who Jesus is. The devil knows the Word of God. Do you remember when the devil's tempting Jesus? He says, well, doesn't the Bible say, isn't it written that he sent his angels to have charge on you and won't dash your foot against them, you know, all that? The devil knows the Bible. He knows it inside and out, okay? The devils, the demons know Jesus. You remember when Jesus goes down to the Gadara and there's that maniac there that's possessed of the legion of demons? And they come and they fall before him and they said, "Oh, thou Son of God, what have we to do with thee? Don't torment us before our time." I mean, they knew who he was. And they couldn't do anything to him. And when he said for them to get out of that man, they had to get out. You remember? They didn't. They said, "Well, don't send us, you know, away or out of this country. Just send us over in that bunch of hogs." Amen. Yeah. Somebody got the swine flu that day, didn't they? But I'm telling you, they run off the hillside and they all drown, choke themselves. And I mean, isn't that amazing? Deviled ham's got more sense than most people. Amen. But that's that's what you had, okay? So the devil knows. I mean, and you see this girl, she is stomping around here with Paul and his troop and everything that they're doing. And look, there she is screaming the things that she's yelling. I mean, you see the screams of this damsel. It says she cried. You know, she's saying, as I say, in a loud voice, "These men are the servants of the Most High God. And they show unto us the way of salvation." Now, I want you to notice this back in verse 16. It said, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer." Can I tell you, sometimes the devil ain't going to bother you a lot of times. But when you get to trying to doing something positive and certain and actively for God, he'll come in. And they were wanting to go to a time of prayer. And the devil said, "Well, let me just mess that up." You know, if Ed went out and said, "We're going to have fellowship and eat all we can and just lay back and take her easy," I don't think he'd have bothered him. I don't think if they said, "We're going to go down to the ball field and play ball," he'd say, "Go ahead, I'm not going to bother y'all." Amen? "Oh, well, we're going to go out here and we're just going to have a good time of just sitting around and talking." He ain't going to bother you. You know what? You get busy doing something for God. Paul had come in, guns blazing, people getting saved, lives getting changed, things happening. And the devil says, "Uh-oh, we better stop this." As they were going to prayer, here comes this little girl. And it looks like it ain't just once. It's a repetitive thing. I mean, do you notice that? It says the same followed Paul and us, crying, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And verse 18, "And this did she many days." Now, I don't know about y'all, but I can put up with something for a while. But after a while, it gets on your nerves, don't it? I mean, could you imagine? Every time Paul was trying to do something, and maybe it was every time they went to prayer. We don't know. Remember, there's no a place in synagogue in town for them to go to. So they're going out here by the river. They're meeting these people that have been saved. They're trying to preach and win others. And here she comes. And, you know, it even sounds like what she says is right. Doesn't it? It sounds like what she's crying and screaming and yelling. It all sounds right. But I'm telling you, she's got a loud voice, as I said, that even mimics. And some of the writers that I've looked at said it was almost as if her voice mimicked the cry of a raven. I don't know if you've ever heard them or not. But when they get to squawking and squealing and go back and watch Alfred Hitchcock's movie, The Birds, and you get a little bit of idea of some of that noise that's being made. And it's unnerving within itself. It just kind of, you know, it just gets on. And you just, that's not a good sound. That's what it was like. And here she was, "Hey!" You know, that kind of a sound. And it just continually came to the Apostle Paul. And as I say, you see that she's doing this. And I want you to notice this. You see this second of all. You see the soreness of Paul. Paul gets just plumb irritated with it, right? "And this did she many days." I mean, as I say, Paul put up with it. But Paul, look at that little comma, "being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." I mean, look, Paul had taken all he could take. And I don't I don't guess I understand this. I mean, I don't get all of it. But it may be that Paul is thinking, well, here we are. We're in a strange city, and I don't want to appear, you know, in too much contention, too much. I don't want to, you know, upset the apple cart, is the saying. I don't, because here we are. We don't know anybody here. They don't know us. And all they're hearing was this few folks that's got saved. But this is a Roman city, and I guess we probably ought to behave. But finally, one day, his behave got baroque. And he said, that's it. I've had about as much of this as I can stand. Amen. Now, if you look at it, as I said, you look at it and you think, well, this girl is saying something. I mean, she said, these men show unto us the way of salvation. I mean, you know, you think, well, what's wrong with that? Well, let me tell you what's wrong with that. As I said, the devil knows the Bible. He knows the Bible as well as me and you do. But can I tell you something? I don't want him running around quoting my Bible, because I'm afraid somebody might get the idea that whatever he said is okay, so let's just follow him too. Right? I believe Paul is thinking, if this girl gets associated with us in the ministry, they're going to think that we're okay with her and that what she says is right. And pretty soon, they're going to believe anything she has to say. Okay? That's the point. He's like, this can't happen. I've had enough of this. Can I tell you, the devil got in a garden out there with Eve, and he was quoting scripture out there to her. But you know what he began to do? He began to twist it. He began to turn it. He began to make it say something that it really didn't say. And in that, you know, Eve, he says, God surely didn't say that you'd die. You must have misunderstood something there. In other words, buddy, he was standing in for the preacher. He's standing in for Adam is what he was doing. Adam should have stepped up and said, sir, leave. Get out of here. We don't need you. We don't need this. And that's exactly what Paul does. She keeps crying. And people are saying, wow, look at her. Whoa, she's a prophetess. She's with them guys. And Paul said, she ain't with us. And I'm going to put an end to this stuff. And you see what he does. He turns and, you know, Some people got these ideas about, I don't know, a long time ago, and I'm not advertising for nothing, but y'all remember there was a movie called The Exorcist. And I don't know if you ever saw it, and if you did, you know, Lord help you, I guess, for what you had to see. You know, I mean, it was ugly. But and I know they've made a whole bunch more things along that line. It's become a big topic and all that. But I want to tell you something. This wasn't that, was it? I mean, they wasn't no throwing holy water and crosses and spinning heads and all that stuff. Listen, this right here, Paul just simply looked at her. And as I say, he said, I've had enough of this. He said, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. That little phrase, the same hour, means right then, immediately. I mean, it wasn't no, he didn't have to go back for sessions and call in back up and everything. He just said, I'm commanding you in the name of Jesus. Paul didn't say, this is me. This is Jesus said, devil, get out of here. Amen. And he did. Amen. As I said, there was a deliverance that came. I mean, you see the soreness of Paul, but then you see that he gave the solution for this problem. And the solution is found in Jesus Christ. That's the solution for this problem. Can I tell you? That's the solution for the problem of the world today. They just don't want it. Amen? They just don't want it. You want to see some things straighten out and change around here. Let me just tell you that. Look at this. The Bible says that there are these men that own her, right? There in verse number 16, it talks about that they were the men that owned her. And if you look at that, it said her masters. That word master is K-U-R-I-O-S, kurios. And you know what kurios also relates to in the Bible? It is the word the Lord. So this is a battle of masters. This is a battle of lords. And guess who wins? Amen. Paul's master beat her masters. even as though even her master were some men, but her real master was the devil. But you see who the real winning master is through the whole fight. It is the Lord. And he came out of her, it says, right then. Amen. I mean, she'd done this, came at them, screamed, hollered, and carried on, and he came out the same out. That girl got delivered from that demonic oppression. And listen, that set her free. It set her free from her earthly masters. It set her free from the devil's mastership. And it set her free from that demonic possession in her spirit. Amen. Now, I mean, I don't see anything that says she got saved. But, buddy, I can tell you, after that, hey, I don't know how she could keep from it. All right? I don't know how she'd be like that old boy was when Jesus got rid of that legion out there. The next thing they know, he's clothed in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. I don't believe this girl went into any of those spasmodic, wild, crazed things like she'd been doing before and telling stories and futures and all that. I believe she's cleaned up and she said, hey, I'm right now and thank God I don't want to go back to what I was. Amen. So you see here, there is a deliverance that came for this situation. All right, let's look at one last thing as we go beyond that. I mean, you got a deliverance, but then I want you to notice there is a disturbance and the slander. Really, it's the slander that follows. There's a disturbance. Can I tell you, them old guys got upset. I mean, can you imagine? Look what it says. Here they are in verse 19, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone. Now, I want you to notice that. They saw that the hope of their gains were gone. They didn't see that the girl was, you know, down in the dirt or, you know, something had happened or what. They didn't care about that again. They didn't care about that. They just saw that the money was stopping. That's all they could see. And that's why the Bible tells us, if you look at it, the love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, as I say, they didn't care about that girl. They didn't care about anything. All they cared about was that the money train was gone. That's all they cared about. That's all they cared about. They got, boy, I mean, I want you to notice, they got upset. And look what it says. They caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. And according to Roman law, and again, remember, Philippi is a Roman-controlled city. According to Roman law, you could do that. If there was somebody that was doing something that was, well, you would almost say either illegal or immoral or whatever the situation was, you could drag them in before the superiors of the city, okay? The people that rule the city, you could drag them in. You could bring them in. The idea behind this is it wasn't just they brought them in. They dragged them. I mean, they physically constrained and were hard on Paul and Silas. And notice, now remember, we've got Paul, we got Silas, we got Timothy, and we've got Luke. But it says they got Paul and Silas. Now I know Paul was the main mouthpiece. As a matter of fact, you see that he's the one that told the devil to get out of the girl. But look at what happens here as you're looking at this, and I say, disturbance, and look at the slander. First of all, I want you to notice the charges that were brought against them. Notice this, if you will. It says, and they brought them. They drew them into the marketplace on the roof. Most of the things in that day came into the marketplace, which was kind of like the middle of town or the, you know, where the people all came and gathered. It was a gathering place. They all met downtown, you know, where all the action was. And they brought them, and it says they brought them to the magistrates. But listen to these charges. These fellas have got a devil out of a little girl, and she's all right now. That ain't what they said. These guys have helped a young girl get over a bad situation. That ain't what they said. Look what they said. These men, being Jews, ooh, excuse me, your racism is showing. But that's what's going on. These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. First of all, notice this. These men being Jews. Again, you think we see advertisements today and they talk about people being and saying and doing things that are anti-Semitic. That means against Jewish people, Jewish customs, Jewish ways. Anti-Semitism was alive right then too. As a matter of fact, in the Roman law in that day, it wouldn't bother them to get rid of a few Jews. If you had something against the Jewish people, it'd be all right to do whatever you want to do to get rid of them and get them out of the way. I mean, that's just it. And don't you think these boys played that trump card? These men being Jews. Hey, let me ask them something. What about Timothy and Luke over here? Can I tell you, Luke is as Greek as you can get. I mean, he had no look about him that was Jewish. He had no actions or ways about him that was Jewish. As a matter of fact, he was a doctor and probably respected and handled himself in a different way. And here's a little boy by the name of Timothy. You remember Timothy? Timothy, his dad is a Roman and his mother is Jewish. So by all rights and means, he's a Roman. So you know what? We can't touch them, but we're sure going to touch these other guys. We're going to get these Jews. You remember how it was? We talked about this a lot about in the book of Ruth. All those Jews kept calling her that Moabitish woman. I mean, their racism was showing a little bit there, wasn't it? Amen? There they were, and they were showing out on that point. Well, here these guys are showing theirs toward these two Jewish men. These men being Jews. First of all, it's kind of racial. Second of all, notice this, if you will. It's not just that they bring those racial charges. They said, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. The idea behind all of that is they're about to cause a riot. They're going to be guilty of some kind of riotous action. They're going to cause a mob. They're going to stir up something. They're going to cause an outbreak of a fight and a carrying on. Like, well, we can't have that. Now, have you seen it? Here? All they did is get rid of the devil. Them folks ought to be glad of that. But here they are. I mean, they're highly offended. So what comes out of their mouth? Well, let me just tell you, the love of money will make you lie. And that's all they're doing is lying. So you see the charges that they bring to them. And look what it says there further in the next verse, verse 21. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. They said they're stirring up something. And now they're going against the very government. They're teaching some things that ought not to be taught. Can I tell you something right here? If we're not very careful, our country could be headed in that same direction. Amen? I mean, you think the government wouldn't like to come in here someday and say, hey, you can't say anything about homosexuals because it's against our laws. And you're teaching some things that are not lawful. I mean, that's what they're telling them right there. These guys, what are they doing? They're preaching the gospel. But the government of Rome is against that. Isn't that scary? To think about that? That I'm not saying we're there, and I'm Lord willing, we'll never get there. But you could head that way, okay? So I'm just saying, look at this. There were some charges brought against them. Not only do you see the charges brought against them, I want you to see that there was a commotion that came up against them. Look what it says. Verse number 22, and the multitude rose up together against them. Oh my goodness. They got everybody stirred up. Can I tell you, the devil can stir up a crowd, can't he? Jesus is brought before the people, and here's Pilate. Let me release him to you at this season. I do. No, we don't want. We want Barabbas crucified. But why? This man had done nothing amiss. Crucify him. And there's some guys out there said, go ahead, yell it. I'll help you chant. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And I mean, they get the crowd stirred up. That mob gets wild. The whole city's on an uproar. And Jesus is crucified. Pilate walks up and says, well, I'm washing my hands of this deal. It's up to y'all. Can you believe that? That is sad and silly. But that's what happened. And that's the same thing that's going on here. They've got the crowd. You can stir a crowd up. You know that? You ever seen? I mean, go to a ball game. You know why them dummies up there in the music area in a ball, they play music? To stir everybody up. Ain't that right? You go to a football game, the band's over. Nah, 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 and then you're off. Woo! I got to do something. I'm going to shout right now. Right? The baseball game, here's that guy playing that organ. Do, 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 do. And everybody, ah! They go wild. Right? I mean, we're going to bring in our best reliever. They kick open the door. Rah, 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 rah. Here he comes, Mr. Bad Guy, you know. They get everybody stirred up. Yeah, the wild man. Here he comes. I mean, they get everybody stirred up. And that's the point. You can stir up a crowd with something. And these guys have stirred their crowd. These men, look what they've done. They're against the government. They're outlaws. They ought to be done away with. Isn't it crazy? I mean, they've just run the devil out of one little girl. And these guys are saying that they've got to, you know, they're turning everything around. Isn't that right? And look, it says they're teaching cuts, not laws of rest or receive. Neither of us are been wrong. Multitude rose up together against them. And because of that, what happened? The magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Isn't that amazing? And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Notice, if you will, they beat them. I mean, most of the time around here now, most of the time, you get a fair trial. Let me just tell you, you just back up sometimes in American history, and I'll say particularly in the South, and I mean, it's happened. There have been some black individuals that got the judge and the jury right on the spot, and a rope was slung over a tree, and a noose was made, and a man was hanged, and that was all they needed. Isn't that scary? And they did call it justice. You know, nowadays they say everybody gets a fair trial and you got to go and you present your case, all that stuff, okay? But do you see, Paul didn't get to say a word. Paul didn't get to defend. If they wasn't, just beat them. Put them in jail. Let's get this thing out. Jesus wasn't going to say anything, but the same thing happened to him. They say that these guys, when this was commanded by the city officials, they would rip their clothes off them, their shirts. They usually got them down to their loincloth so that they weren't completely naked in public, but they got them down, stripped down, and they would begin to beat them with an implement that had either ropes or bands of metal tied to it, and they would slap it across their backs for ever how many stripes that it was, whatever the punishment that was decided by the magistrates. That's what happened to Paul and Silas. And then, that's not all of it. I mean, you see that they have started this commotion came against them. I want you to notice the commendations that came against Paul and Silas. It says that when they had laid many stripes on them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. Y'all hear people talk about now, somebody goes in solitary confinement. That's where Paul and Silas went. They went together, but they went into solitary confinement. And it says that that he had made their feet fast in the stocks. Just a little idea about those stocks that I read was like this. There is a board that's been prepared. it slides into two parts. And in the middle part of it, it's got five holes in it. There's one for the person's neck to go in. That comes down. Then next, their arms go into separate side holes that are beside the neck hole. Their arms go in. And then last of all, they're put into a position where their legs are put into those stocks at this kind of an angle. You've got them spread out about as far and about as hurtful and painful as they can do. And there you are. I mean, you're not going anywhere. And it'd be awful hard. And remember, they've just been beaten. They've been beaten and whipped and made fun of and angered at. I mean, that's what's going on. And here they are. Now, that was the commendation. You know, put them in the prison. Put them in the innermost. Put them in solitary confinement. Don't let nobody else around. And as a matter of fact, Mr. Jailer, if they get out, and anyway, if something happens, you're responsible and you're going to give your life for theirs. That's the charge that's been given to him. So what do you do? Well, preacher, I'd get down there and cry, and I'd weep, and I'd be, well, this is all bad things. Isn't that crazy? That's what we'd do, right? Get my lawyer! That's what we'd do. All of a sudden, you know what they did? They started thanking God. They started singing, there's power in the blood. Victory in Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty sins. Amen? They probably began saying, oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Come on, get saved tonight. And don't you know that had to be a haunting, irritating thing that was going on? We'll get into that next week. But can you imagine? That's what they did. And there they were all spread out, their heads in a stock, their arms locked in, their feet and legs spread wide. And could you imagine? Now, I don't know about y'all. I mean, I have trouble laying flat on a bed at night and getting a muscle cramp or two. And if they had one, buddy, I don't know what you'd do. Just sit there and suffer it and just scream and yell and whatever may go on. Your back hurting, your body beaten, bruised and battered, and you still said, I think I'll just thank God. Amen, for his blessings on me. Amen. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing about midnight. As I say, we'll get into that next week, but that's where we are. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something tonight, if you would.